Lord, I thank you that prayer is a priority in this church, that prayer is a priority for your people. That, Lord, when we have a need, when we have a care, a concern, we bring it to you. We can fret over it. We can be concerned about it. But when we pray, God, we give it over to you. We give you the authority to work on our behalf. And even as I was speaking with a dear sister in Christ this morning about how sometimes you say no to us, and that's okay. You know best. You know what we need. You know what we want. And we pray that you would work all those things out, Lord, in our hearts. For sometimes when you don't give us what we want, we think you're mad at us. But Lord, you're just a good father who only gives good gifts to your kids. And so help us to just know that when you say not now, or to wait, or I'm not giving that to you, Lord, that we'll be okay with it, because you have our best interests at stake. I pray for our time here this morning as we look to your word. I pray that the scriptures would come alive, that as the Apostle Paul is addressing these things to a church that's struggling, that we would also apply these things to our lives. For we believe with all of our hearts that your return is at any moment, and we want to be found looking and watching for the rapture of the church, where you're going to take us out of this place. But Lord, while we're still here, may we help others come to know you. So help us to be good witnesses in the days that we live. Bless our time. Bless my brothers and sisters. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk this morning about living with strong conviction. As believers, we need to be living with a strong biblical conviction. Amen. There can be a strong conviction on a certain topic or a certain subject, but it has to be filtered through the truth of God's word. And so the convictions that we hold, the convictions that you hold in your life, are they filtered through the word of God, the truth of God's word? That those convictions are there. We all have had to take a stand in the days that we're living in for the truth, a popular opinion out there. You know, that we're still living in those days where there's so many things that are uncertain and unassured. But the one assurance that we have is that Jesus is coming back, and if you're his child, he's taking you with him. That's the good news. But that doesn't help us necessarily navigate the crazy times that we're living in. Still dealing with the coronavirus, still dealing with how to deal with these types of things, how long to be around someone. I mean, it seems like they change the rules every day. And it's like, Lord, help us, give us wisdom, give us conviction, Lord, to live for you. If we're gonna live true to God, our convictions need to be biblical convictions. See, we've all had friends or coworkers that have challenged us or wanted us to compromise on those beliefs and to cut corners and to do things that are unbiblical. But for those of us who truly believe that God is seated on his throne, that Jesus Christ is seated at his right hand, and God is still at work, we are the ones that have to take a stand and say, our convictions say, I will not cut corners. I will not compromise my faith. I will live true to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the encouragement we must have for one another, encouraging each other to stay the course, to not give up, no matter how hard it gets. Sometimes we want to say, Lord, we're tired. Please bring us home. It's always been my conviction, if we're wearing out, if we're getting tired, then we are working against the Spirit. We are doing things that the Spirit has not given us direction to do. We should be at peace. Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I will give you rest. If you come to me, I will give you that rest. And so even in the busyness of the days that we're living in, Jesus Christ says, I'm the rest that you need. Come to me. All you who are weary and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Do you need rest this morning? Do you need that extra little nap in the morning when the alarm goes off? Yeah, we're tired. But don't give up, my brothers and sisters. Don't give up because Jesus is coming back. Again, we all have convictions that define us. And as I've already said, those need to be biblical convictions in our hearts. Because if they're not biblical convictions, then they're going to be weak convictions that'll cause us to compromise in those times of temptation. God has given you principles to live by in the Word of God. And that's why we're here. We want to read the Word. We want the Word to change us. And then we want to be obedient to what the Word says to us this morning. Principles in the Bible are those guardrails that help keep us on that path, that keep us bouncing between the things that are going on in our world. The time to establish your convictions is before the temptations come, before the trials come. You have to be sure in your heart, those things that you believe with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, so that when temptation comes or when trials come, you'll stand the course. Stay on the true and narrow. Paul said it like this to the Philippians. He said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." One thing I do, Paul says, I focus on the goal. I head for the prize. One thing, stay the course. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep moving in that direction. Living with strong conviction was something the Apostle Paul did. It seemingly was flawless. He had such strong convictions in Jesus Christ and the Lord of his life that he was able to live in such a way that he could write a letter to a struggling church. Boy, we need more people like the Apostle Paul in the world today that don't give up on people when they have problems, but are willing to come alongside them. And when you have strong convictions, when you see a brother or sister struggling or doing something that is not right, you want to come alongside them. You don't want to avoid them. You want to come alongside them and help them. But we have to first be those people that are strong in our faith. So as we're looking at living with strong conviction, look with me at verse 23. We read it last week, but we're going to read it again. Verse 23, Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." So give me your attention here. The first thing I want us to notice is that the reality is when it comes to living with strong convictions, we have to be seeking the well-being of other people. I don't know about you, but the days we're living in now, it's like me, myself, and I. What I believe, what I think, my convictions, and if my convictions don't fit your convictions, then we can't be friends. And it seems like everybody has an opinion. Everyone has a certain take on the world that we live in today. And it can be very tempting for the Church of Jesus Christ to move in that direction so that we're not trying to edify other people, but are trying to point fingers at them and put them down. And so the Apostle Paul says, listen, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. He's speaking to the Corinthians that thought they had all this wisdom, all this knowledge, all this smarts. And he's like, listen, just because it's lawful for me doesn't mean it's helpful, doesn't mean it's beneficial, it doesn't mean it edifies or lifts up another person. We have to be careful, my brothers and sisters, that the liberties that we have, the freedoms that we have in Christ, certainly should allow us to live a life without stress and strain, but also understand we're living within the guidelines of God. And to be mindful of other people. I mean, we've been talking about that for years. As I became a believer, that was the first thing I feel like I listened to, is a message that talked about being other-centered. Being mindful of other people, lifting others up while we humble ourselves. We need to get back to that truth. We need to get back to that place where we're mindful and truly praying. You know, when I counsel with someone who has a struggle or has a difficulty with a neighbor or a coworker, or maybe it's even a family member, one of the first things I do is begin to pray for that person that's giving you a tough time. It is hard to be mad at someone you're praying for. Right? And maybe you're sitting next to your spouse and you need to pray more for them. And you need to ask God to bless them, because that changes our hearts when we pray for someone else. It is hard for me to stay mad at anyone if I'm asking God to bless them. Because when I ask God to bless them, then I desire a blessing upon their life. And it changes my heart. So Paul deals with this idea of their rights and their knowledge of the Corinthians, saying just because you can doesn't mean you should. Again, dealing with meats that were sacrificed to idols. That's what Paul's been talking about. And he's been talking to the church about it. And it seems like Paul kind of goes back and forth. Don't do it and then do it. Paul says, listen, it's not about the meat. It's about our hearts. It's about our love for other people. And we should live our lives in such a way with those convictions that help us to be good witnesses to brothers and sisters. And Paul said, listen, I am willing to lay down my liberty if it's going to cause someone to stumble. And he'll go into that more in this final chapter, in this final verses of this chapter. He's like, I'm willing to lay that down. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. Because Paul's heart was always focused on the well-being of others. I think we could use a little bit more of that in our lives, don't you think? The well-being of others. And listen, the well-being of others that disagree with you or disagree with us. The only way we're going to change people's hearts if we show them how much we love them. Show how much we care about them. And so maybe we should be praying for ourselves, Lord, help my heart to be soft. Help my heart to be sensitive. That doesn't mean we compromise. That doesn't mean we water down the truth. No, we stand firm and stand bold in our faith. But we do it with a heart of love. I think Jesus exemplified this perfectly. He spoke strictly, he spoke strongly, but yet he did it in such a loving way. Wouldn't you love to have listened to how Jesus taught the Word of God? Wouldn't you love the way Jesus would expound upon the Old Testament scriptures and to be going, oh my gosh, the way he says it, it just convicts my heart, but it's in a way that I want to change. Isn't that the truth of how God works? He does it lovingly. He doesn't caringly. I'm glad he doesn't beat us on the head with a bat. Otherwise, I'd have a lot of bumps on my head, right? But he does it lovingly. He just convicts us. He just, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure you want to go there? You sure that's the choice you want to make? No, Lord, no. I want to listen to you. I want to be obedient to you. See, Paul is saying essentially, it's not a matter of can I go there or can I do this? Because Paul says everything is lawful. Okay? He's going to say it. He says it twice in this verse. He said it back in chapter 6. All things are lawful. The question is, do I really want to go to that place? Do I really want to be seen doing that activity, though we have the liberty to do it, right? What's the witness? What's the testimony? See, we can be we need to be very careful in the way we live our lives as believers, because the world is watching, guys. Your unbelieving neighbor is watching your life. They see you. They see you, you know, putting a cross out maybe at Christmas on the front porch. They see you making a stand for Christ. They're watching. We have to pay attention to those things that people are watching. I don't know why this isn't loading. Jesus said it this way. Let your light so shine, right? Before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That our lives would be lived in such a way that when people just watched, they'd go, wow. That's amazing, God. What an amazing testimony that would be if people knew us because of the way we responded to the things in the world. And they gave testimony and glory to God. Those are the things that edify. Those are the things that are helpful that the Apostle Paul is saying. He says in verse 24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Liberty. Freedom in Christ is limited to our love. Liberty is limited to our love. We should be concerned about our influence on other people. Think about that. If people had to describe your life, how would they describe it? Gentle, caring, loving, harsh, always angry, always upset. What is it? What is it they would see? He's saying, listen, let no one seek his own, but be focusing on the well-being of others. Because I truly believe when we're focusing on helping others, we help ourselves. We strengthen our own faith when we're looking to help someone else. It has to be motivated by love. I remember many years ago at our church, I got a phone call from someone. They said, listen, I was driving down 65 and I saw this black pickup with a decal on the back that said Calvary Chapel. And they said, man, I was like, there's a Calvary Chapel here. But they said, I tried to catch the person, but they were driving so fast, I could never catch up to them. So I Googled it. Two things happened there. Number one, I knew who the person was that was driving the black pickup. But number two, it's amazing to me that when we live our lives, do our own thing, people are looking and watching, and they have needs. And you don't know how all of a sudden something might happen in your life that God would use to help another person grow closer to God. I was thankful it wasn't my vehicle that was getting caught going down 65. And I had a really fun conversation with a person that was, I said, could you slow down? People are trying to find Jesus. Convicting, right? But that's the reality, guys. People are watching when we don't even realize it. We don't even know it. And we can be so tunnel visioned on self that we miss the opportunities that God gives to us. And I know life is stressful, life is busy, and we're moving and doing. And listen, when I'm in a car driving somewhere, I need to make the best route, the best time, because I want to be known as the one I saved a couple minutes getting there. You know, I put in my GPS, even though I know where I'm going. I'm like, it says I'll be there in 10 minutes. See if I can do it in 8. And then I'm usually speeding, right? Well, the Calvary do you go? I know, I get it. But we got to be good witnesses. People are watching. People are paying attention, being mindful of what's happening. Eat, he says in verse 25, eat whatever is sold in the market. Again, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no question for conscience, thanks for your own conscience. Because Paul says, listen, it doesn't matter. The meat has not been affected by the sacrifice. If you buy the meat and then take it home, enjoy it because your conscience is clear. But what he said last week was don't participate in eating at the marketplace. Don't be seen in that place, where they regard that thing as something that was sacrificed to demons. So Paul is discerning this, saying, go ahead, eat, it's okay, for your own conscience. And then in verse 26, he says, for the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness. That's Psalm 24, verse 1. And that speaks of the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Do you believe that God owns everything? Do you believe it's all the Lord's? Because when you have that perspective, when everything in this world belongs to God, man, it releases you from the responsibility of it. I've told you this story before, and friends went to a church, and they called their pastor and said, Pastor, your house is on fire. He goes, that's impossible. I'm like, no, we're standing outside your house. It's on fire. We're watching it. Right? It's impossible. I'm like, what's wrong with you? He goes, I don't own a house. It's God's, and if he wants to burn it down, that's his choice. I mean, that's the mentality, that he was so released from the things of the world that he was able to be at peace. And when we really believe that everything belongs to God, creation, our stuff, our places, our money, if it all belongs to him, we'll live a whole lot differently. We should live a lot less stressed out if we truly believe it's God. You know, when we pray over our meals, what are we saying? Lord, please bless this food. Bless this provision. Bless what you've given to us. Bless everything that's seated on this table. And are we truly doing it, or are we just going through, Lord, bless this food so we can eat, right? Nobody likes a long food prayer when you're smelling good food, right? But truly, are we praying, Lord, thank you for giving this. Listen, we live in a country of abundance, right? And we can have a meal whenever we want it, right? Except on Sundays, you can't have Chick-fil-A. But you can get anything you want when you want. And it's always on Sunday that I want Chick-fil-A. It's the craziest thing. But we have this mentality that everything is at our fingertips, and we may forget that it's all been given to us by God. And to truly have that mindset that the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. And if it is God's, let's be good stewards of it, right? Be good stewards of the things, be good stewards of the time, be good stewards of the life that he's given to us. So very important. Everything belongs to God. Keep a loose grip on your stuff. You'll see the world differently when you just give it all to God. Truly, when you just start looking around going, Lord, this is amazing. Thank you for providing that. Thank you for giving this. Thank you. See, God wants us to enjoy this life, but not so much that we neglect him. Amen? It's like, oh, Lord, thank you for this. This is all yours. Let us think about the Lord when we see things in our lives and see the blessings that God gives to us. The next thing he says in verse 27, he gives us this example. He says, if any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. Again, your conscience. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to an idol, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake. And there it is again, for the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I gave thanks? The second thing I see here is being motivated by love. Everything that we do is motivated by love. And what I also love about the Apostle Paul in verse 27, if any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner. Paul is not saying as Christians, we shouldn't have fellowship with unbelievers. Those could be opportunities to witness, right? Some of us, we go to holiday dinners with unbelievers, right? Our family members. Those are opportunities for us. Opportunities to witness to them. And I've known people in my past that have said, oh, I've got to go to Christmas dinner with my family. It's always going to be, don't talk about God. And I usually tell them, don't talk about God. Show them God. Show them God by your love, by your grace, by your generosity. Show them God. Because when you show them God, then the opportunity comes for you to talk to them about God. Because once they see your character, once they see your conscience, then you can be released from the truth that I believe in the Lord and everything that I do is because of him. God will open up those opportunities for you. So don't neglect those things. Actually, see them as an opportunity to witness to unbelievers. He says, and if you desire to go, he says, go. Eat whatever is set before you. Don't ask any questions. Don't ask any questions, just enjoy it. When I go to Haiti, I need to practice this principle. What is this I'm eating? What meat is this? What kind of food is this? Whatever is put in front of you. Hospitality. I went to Peru many, many years ago. Went to Peru and we sat down for lunch. And what they tell you when you're traveling on third world countries is don't eat anything that they've made in their own homes. Like if they've used their own water, it's our systems can't handle that. And I'll never forget, we sat down for lunch and they put this big plate or bowl of ceviche, you know what that is? Like, set that down there and we're all looking at each other going, rule number one is don't eat any food just made. And this pastor literally went out scuba diving that morning, caught all the fish and the lobster, and I mean, it looked amazing. But in the back of our minds, we're going, oh my gosh, we're all gonna get sick. We're all gonna get malaria. You want to talk about praying a prayer of thanks for the food before you. It's like, Lord, protect us. Not one person got sick. We ate on plates that they washed in their own sink, the food that they brought. It was an amazing thing. We honored the Lord. So, Lord, we don't want to offend him. Can you imagine? Sorry, we can't eat this. Rule number one in our manual says we're not supposed to eat food. It's a pastor at his home. He's invited us, and the joy that was on his face to provide a meal for us. It's like, okay, Lord, increase our faith. And he honored that. That's the beauty of God. And I've seen him do it, and I'm sure you've seen him do it a million times in your life as well. Trusting those things in the Lord's hands. My brothers and sisters, walk by faith. Walk by faith in the days that we're living in today. Trust God's going to protect. You know, the world we're living in is filled with fear right now. And I justifiably in a lot of ways. But that should not stop us from living our lives. That should not stop us from going out and doing the things that God calls us to do. We have the freedom and we have the protection of God on our hands. And again, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying do something that's stupid. But walk in the wisdom of God and see the opportunities he won't give to us. Be sensitive to those around you, is what Paul is saying. Listen, if someone says you shouldn't be eating that as a Christian, don't lash out back at them. Live by their conviction to win a brother or sister, or an unbeliever for that matter. So be sensitive to those things. I think sometimes we get so critical in the world that we live in because we're so fearful. We're being so critical about how people are living, how people are acting, and the things that people are doing. We should be motivated by love, right? Everything that we do by love. I read this scripture every time at a wedding, but man, does it apply to us this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll be there in a few months. Verse 1. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, this thing, listen to that. I just want you to listen to it. You can turn there if you'd like, but though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I would encourage you to go there and study that this week and to think about all those wonderful things that the Apostle Paul is saying, prophecy and understanding the word and surrendering yourself to the Lord. But if you're not doing it with love, it's worthless. Whoa. We can get so caught up in the busyness of doing our life, our Christianity, our walk with the Lord, that we're not doing it in love. And Paul says it equates to nothing. In fact, I would say it's even a negative, because that's what the world sees the church. Oh, they say this, but they don't live it. They say we should do this, but they're not doing it. I mean, we have to really understand that love is our motivator. The two greatest commandments, Jesus says, is what? Love God and love others. Do those two things, you'll fulfill all the law. Boy, isn't that the truth. If we truly, truly love God and we truly look at other people with a heart of love, even our enemies. And I know that's not easy. I wish it was. But if we look at our enemies and have a heart of love because that person's soul, Jesus died for. Jesus hung on the cross for the worst person on the planet, the worst person that ever lived. He died for them because he loves them. And that's hard for us. We're not going to be able to love them without the love of God in our hearts. And I wonder how different life would be if we truly had a heart of love for people. If we're living with strong conviction, when we look at someone and say, God, get them, we should really be saying, God, get them into the family of God. Draw them into your spirit. Because, guys, we were just like them. We were just as bad as them, maybe some of us worse. And God's grace was sufficient for us to truly have that heart and to love people. It might be up there. They'll have to put it up in the back. This quote says, people of little religion are always noisy. He who has not the love of God and man filling his heart is like an empty wagon coming violently down a hill. It makes a great noise because there's nothing in it. In other words, we have to have love in our hearts to make a difference in this world. Otherwise, we're just making a lot of noise. And we're actually pushing people away from God, where we should be drawing them back. Love is the sign. Another quote, possession of a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is not the sign of the Spirit. Christian love is. Again, just like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, you do all these wonderful things, but you don't have love, it's nothing. Prophesy, speak in tongues, all these things, if you're not doing it with a heart of love, it means nothing. Paul wraps up the chapter in verse 31 through 33. He says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. This last thing is giving God the glory. I mean, we literally sang a song that talked about giving God the glory. And it's about glorifying our Father in heaven, that everything you do, God would look down and say, I am glorified by that. Remember when Jesus was baptized? He looked down on his son and said, this is my beloved son whom I am well pleased. God wants to look down on your life and say, I am well pleased. Because everything you do for the glory of God. And that's always my heart when I see other believers or other ministries doing certain things that I don't agree with. My prayer is that, Lord, may they be seeking you in glorifying you in the things that they're doing, because I can't see fully, only God can. And to truly believe that glorifying God is the main focus in our lives really will help us. Every activity that you participate in, does it bring glory to God? Every thought that you have, does it glorify God? And what glorifies God is when we lift up the name of Jesus. When our focus is the Son, His Son, in whom He loves. If we're sharing His Son, if we're walking like His Son, it glorifies God. At the end of the day, every day, ask yourself, have I glorified God today? Have I included God in every decision, every conversation? And again, it's not preaching constantly. It's just God's invited into your life at all times, because that's what God wants. He wants you to glorify Him. And I love the way the Apostle Paul, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. What a filter that is. If you had to list every activity that you participated in your life, and then after each of those activities, say, does it glorify God? Does this glorify God? Yes, yes, yet no. If there's a no, then you got to ask yourself, is that an activity I should participate in? As I was studying for this week, I read about a pastor who lived in the 1800s, and he would participate in no activity that did not give him an opportunity to preach Christ. And man, what a conviction that was. To think about, I'm not going to do anything if there's not going to be a spiritual benefit to it. Talk about walking a walk. I mean, I see that as the Apostle Paul, that everything he did for the glory of God. Every activity he participated, it was for the glory of God. Every letter he dictated to the churches was for the glory of God. Living with strong conviction is living for the glory of God. Guys, we want to get to the end of our lives and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That glorifies God. Doing God's will, being obedient to His word, that glorifies God. And he goes on. He says in verse 32, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. There's three categories of people that he says, give no offense to them. I mean, the Jews, those are those that believe differently than us. Someone who doesn't believe the way you believe. Give no offense to them. The Greeks, unbelievers. I would have put them in the category of unbelievers. Give no offense to them. And then to the church, brothers and sisters in Christ that agree and I believe like you do. Give no offense to them. Can you imagine if we were living like that, what it would be like? Not wanting to give an offense. Now, there's a difference between giving offense and taking offense, isn't there? We have to be careful when we take offense because it could have a lot to do with us and the way we misunderstand someone else's actions or the way they respond to something or where they said something. So be very careful when you take offense that you just take that to the Lord because you could be believing a little bit something that's not really there. And I believe that that's an opportunity for us to miss. It's all good. It's all right. No, it's all good. It's all good. If you take an offense and that hinders a relationship, think of the missed opportunity that you might have with that person. So maybe you're here this morning and you've taken offense from your parents, from friends. I mean, there's people in my life that we were close friends and something happened and we're not friends anymore because either I took offense or they took offense. And that means we don't have a relationship with each other anymore. Oh, don't do it. Paul says, don't give no offense. Live in such, we're going to give offense. We're going to offend people. I say it all the time. I'm going to offend you eventually. Sorry. But if it's a Holy Spirit offense or conviction, I'm good with that. But the reality is, we're going to live so that we give no offense. I think about people in my life that have seen my life, have seen my walk, and others, even from this church, and that they're on the outskirts. They're not believers. They're just watching. And I think to myself, we have a relationship, we are friends, we enjoy each other's company, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the Word of God. And I ask myself, like, Lord, when they watch people's life as believers, what are they seeing? And why are they not seeing a life that they would want? We should be living lives that are filled with what? Joy, forgiveness, deliverance, justification, sanctification, we should be living those kind of lives. And if people are watching our lives and not being affected by it, now, they could have the hardest heart in the world, I get it. But man, shouldn't we be making a difference? And I think there's opportunities out there. I think I got a person's name on this page, and I'm like, Lord, I need to pray for this person more. That they truly would see you, not us. Do you see verse 1 in chapter 11? It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Wow. I also like to add to that verse, don't imitate me when I'm not imitating Christ. Because that happens too, doesn't it? But imitate me as I imitate. We have an opportunity, guys, to live for the Lord. Romans 15:2 says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Leading to edification. At the end of verse 33, Paul says that they may be saved. Paul is going to live his life, his liberties under the guidance of love. He's going to surrender his liberties when he needs to for the conviction of someone else because his heart is that they get saved. Let's have that kind of heart. You hear me? Let's have that kind of heart that our lives, we might be living in our liberty, we might be living in our freedom, and God has given me that. But if it hinders someone to come to Christ, we need to question our motives Because if we truly have a heart that some people are going to get saved because of our lives, what a reward that is. What a wonderful opportunity that is for us to say, this person came to Christ because they saw my life. Now, hopefully they don't keep looking at us, because again, we'll mess up. But they need to be looking at Jesus. Living a life of strong conviction means you get out of the way and you let other people see Jesus. And so live your life in such a way that people see your life and they want to have a relationship with God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are to be able to read the scriptures and feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm sure all of us in this room, Lord, every single one of us, not one of us is exempt, can think of a time when we messed up and we dishonored the name of God. We did not glorify you. But I pray that that is our heart, that we want to bring glory and honor to you and to you alone. And sometimes that means not doing something we want to do, not participating in a certain activity that we want to participate in, so that we might win someone into the family of God. And what an amazing responsibility and opportunity that is for us, to be a part of your work in someone's heart that leads them to you. And so I pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that we would be like the Apostle Paul and say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We want to be imitators of Jesus. Help us, Lord. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit that helps us do that very thing. Bless my brothers and sisters. Bless our day. Bless our picnic, our time together. We just love being your kids. All for your glory, all for your honor. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.